The following is not professional consultation. We share our viewpoints and experiences. It's up to you to decide how to receive this information to best suit your life. Take it or leave it.
What the sex?
You've tuned into What the Sex, starring the Banff, JP Severs, and Double D, Sarah D. This has explicit content not suited for an audience under 18. Topics ranging from being single, flirting, dating, relationships, love, and of course, fucking brains out from which they came. Do's and don'ts, and it's all just between us, the sheets, and anywhere else we fancy. So lay on back and brace yourselves because we're biters.
Welcome to this raunchy edition of What the Sex. I'm JP.
And I'm Sarah D.
Powered by BamfSwag.net.
For all your t-shirt needs.
Our third broadcast. It's very exciting to get the ball rolling as far as, you know, the things that we've discussed so far. Whereas this one, it's going to start off a little bit on the more uncomfortable side. But trust me, there is a point.
Yes, there's always going to be a point to it.
So, you know, and I didn't want to get into the habit of creating like specific titles for what each podcast is going to represent. But I did have like something sort of in mind for this one. And I think it's great because it both makes sense. It's kind of humorous, but the disgusting truth of the matter is it fits perfectly. And, you know, for this one, I would say that it's called Kids Thrusted into Adulthood.
It's a good title for it. It's a very good title for it.
And again, I want you guys to bear with us because we're not really condoning what we're about to talk about, but it's something that I feel like should be addressed. It's something that, you know, parents need to be made aware of. And, you know, a lot of it starts with the way we advertise and project sexuality, whether it's, you know, online, you know, with Facebook and other social medias and Twitter, you know, TV commercials and shows.
Yes.
Billboards, magazines, movies, you know, even religion in our history has part to blame in the way the culture has, I don't want to say evolved. I think it's sort of de-evolved. You know what I mean? Like it's going in the wrong direction, but you know.
I would 100% agree with that. I don't know where we messed up, but definitely going not in the right way.
Well, you know, and I don't want to single any particular one thing out because I think the problem is that it is a collective of a number of things. I don't think any one thing, oh, that's why, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of the you know, the Big Bang Theory, all this, you know, the clashing inside this huge pot and sort of just creates all these little, you know, back and forths.
Yeah, I don't think you can pinpoint it down to one specific. I just think, just like you had said, there's all this stuff boiling together has caused this mass explosion, if you will,
right,
of craziness. So I think that, as you mentioned, we are going in the complete wrong direction of where we need to be as far as society goes and the children go and everything like that.
I mean, because I think, you know, and I'll probably say this more than once during this show, I think, you know, there's a time and place where, you know, we can be free to be adults.
Exactly.
But by the same token, I think we need to be responsible about where we do this.
And where we adult, if you will.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and where we're adulting.
You know, I mean, it's one thing
if you're... And who we adult in front of.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, it's one thing if you want to go out clubbing, but if, you know, if you're going to wear something that's provocative, whether you're a guy or a girl, you know, go from point A to point B. Don't stop at the grocery store first if it's early enough that, you know, that you're going to be exposed to children and so forth of that nature.
Well, it depends, I guess, on how scantily clad you're dressed in that point. You know, normal club clothes versus I'm a stripper at a strip club clothes. you gotta weigh those out. So.
And there lies one of the problems. You said it tends, but see,
yes.
What is there? There may be a standard definition, but who's to say what is conservative versus provocative?
Yeah, but I don't really think that, I don't really think like cleavage showing is necessarily going to be something that is provocative. But I mean, I guess it's, if you ask me versus you ask someone who's super religious, I mean, just like you said, I guess there can be two different mindsets on that. Definition.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, some cleavage, but I mean, you for one, you know, and I'm not trying to call you out or embarrass you, but you've got some hefty girls going.
Yes, I do. And I tend to, and if I show anything, that's whatever I show. I mean, but there are some times where I'm like, I've had to censor myself where we're going out to dinner with friends and I've got a low cut shirt on because that's what I
do. And I'm like, we're going to Applebee's. I might.
Exactly, which is all, you know, obviously they try to be very family oriented.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll wear something a little bit different. But if we go out to like a bar where it's like a local sports bar where really the only people that are in there are over 18, right, then I'm like, well, free hanging, let's go. So
absolutely. Like I said, time and place.
Yeah, time and place for everything. There are some times where I'm like, you might want to check those girls.
Well, you know, and as far as mentioning things, I mean, because, you know, a lot of it, I think, can depend on the parents,
mm-hmm,
and you know, the way they view the world versus perhaps even their laziness. Like, whatever, let whatever happens, happens. But that's like very lazy and a cop-out to,
yes,
not being there to educate your child properly. I mean, you don't have to tell them what anal beads are, but fucking teach them, you know, the basics, but also to be aware of what to look for and what to avoid by knowing what to look for. Because it's like, you know, you're going to get the tail side that someone is trying to do something to you at your too young of an age,
yes,
that they need to register that as a negative and not go, oh my God, you know, and sort of welcome it.
Exactly. You touched on it exactly. I know a parent who has three girls and they all vary in ages. I think the oldest one is maybe about 12 and then 9 and then 5. So there's, right, you know, there's a big age gap. They're all kind of close together too. And she is very open with them. She is very much open with them, but to on an educational standpoint, to let them know what it is, because she doesn't want their friends telling them about it. You know, she, right, wants to be the one to tell them. And even her little 5-year-old knows it, but she brings it to their level and to their age appropriate level,
right,
just so they're aware. They're self-aware, and especially with social media as big as it is, she doesn't want them putting that all out there, because once it's on the internet, it's 100% true, it's out there, right. So you know, and that's, well, yeah,
because even if you post something and remove it, no matter how long it was up, someone could have saved it already.
Exactly. Screenshot is the worst enemy in this world. So, you never know who's screenshot. You're like, well, maybe I shouldn't post that. That might get screenshotted.
Right. Well, except that even Snapchat, I mean, that's why Snapchat is quote unquote so popular, is that it allows people to do such things knowing that there's a time limit on how long they can view something. However,
yes, I was going to say, however,
there are glitches to get around that without letting anybody know that you've taken a screenshot.
Exactly. And that is, I mean, I use Snapchat on a daily basis, but I also wouldn't put anything out there that I wouldn't want anybody, whether it's type, video, or photo, right, that I wouldn't want anyone to see, because you don't know if they've got an iPad next to them or,
right,
or whatever they have that could be taking video or whatever you're typing.
Well, yeah, they could record from their phone using another camera of some sort.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is why if you are involved in Sarah's Snapchats, all you get to see is the road ahead.
Exactly. Most of the time, all you're going to see is me driving half the time, because that's all I ever do, I swear. But even whenever there's a text conversation, whenever you go into the private text, you have to watch what you say, even if it's just a normal conversation, because you don't know what people are typing. And it's scary whenever you see like a 12-year-old girl with Snapchat on her phone,
yeah,
because we've all been 12, 13, 14, 15. And I know if I was 15 and Snapchat existed,
right,
shit.
Oh, I'm, yeah, you thought I sent a dirty picture? Prove it.
Yes. I would have been in so much trouble with,
look,
that.
On my history, bitch. I didn't do shit.
They can't look on your history on Snapchat unless it's your Snap story.
Exactly.
Or unless they're recording it. That's my thing. I think the worst of people. Like, that's why I would never put anything out there on Snapchat, because you do think the worst. You're like, oh my God, somebody's going to be recording this or somebody's going to be recording that. So, yeah.
Well, even I hate to get off topic, but I remember even, you know, there was a conversation that we were having on Snapchat. It was all done in text, but there was some sort of, there was some conflict, and I had written something that I felt motivational to myself. And so for me to remember, I mean, because this was before you could actually save each message.
Yeah.
And so I took a snap of my words, and then you replied back, why did you snap that? And I'm like, well, you know, and then, yes, I explained it. But I was like, you know, that was the only way for me to get that information, because again, you know, at the time they didn't allow you to just save that message. And so, yeah, that was the only thing I had. And because I snapped it at all, it notified you, and It raised your fucking eyebrow.
Yes. I do that with my sister too. I'm like, why did you do that? Why would you say that? I'm like, stop, take that off.
Well, because it ended up being words that were like, wow, that was pretty profound for what I needed to hear. And, you know, yeah. it was ironic that I'm, it was just ironic that I was the one who typed it and was like, well, I should save it just in case I forget. Cause I can always, you know, look at that picture later and go, that's right. Okay. Keep on.
Like, yep. I remember this now.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Oh, welcome to my paranoid life.
I know, right?
Yes, it happens. That's why I take medication.
That'll definitely make the cut. Anyway.
Yes.
But you know, to elaborate, you know, again, billboards, magazines, all that stuff, everything is geared towards, you know, really it's geared towards adults in that they're the ones that have the money. Obviously, you know, kids that are 12, 13 don't have money of their own. And so as it is, kids that go through those stages and asking for certain things that are more provocative, the advertisers figure, look, well, for them to get the money, they've got to go through their parents to get said money. So obviously by then the parents are the ones making those decisions.
Yes.
However, it also becomes an issue if the parents aren't saying yes, because now it's a social issue that, oh, you know, so-and-so didn't show up with the new heel pumps, you know, that poor ass bitch.
But hasn't it always been that way though? Just not on such a broad spectrum as it is now because of social media, but hasn't it always, even like the 80s and the 70s and things like that, always been about what you have versus who you are?
Well, yeah, but see, having designer clothes is one thing, but if they're not sexy now that's major.
True.
Tighter. I mean? It's yeah. I mean, it's different from, you know, being able to wear heels at all, but like if they go up a little high and they look like stilettos, it's like, now I'm in the zone.
Yeah, just like you had touched base before with massage therapists and women wearing heels after 20 minutes it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And these ladies are running around, I can't even do hard pavement for more than, I think I wore heels this weekend for a work function for about 2 hours, and I was in so much pain, and the heels were maybe 3.5 inches.
Right,
and
not
I
was much at
like,
all.
Not much at all. It's like, how do these women go around in 6.5 inch heels? I just like, do you numb your feet?
To be very honest with you, I mean, that's how separated from high heels and sexy it is for me, that when I see a woman in heels and I know that they've gone any length of time wearing them, I just picture circus. Like those tall, those guys that walk on the stilts and they bow themselves. That's exactly what I see. That's not very sexy.
No, I don't know when sexy became uncomfortable with clothes.
It's not that sexy became comfortable. It was just more important to be sexy than comfortable.
No, I mean, become uncomfortable. When did being sexy become that?
Well, that's just it. I think, you know, through the decades, you know, not only have men's tastes slightly changed over the years, but the line that women will cross has moved dramatically over the decades as well. And so, you know, these little things eventually add up to what they're willing to do to keep or get a guy's attention.
This topic like angers me so much. Like the things that women have to do to feel like they are important, to feel like they will be wanted. Not that they are wanted, but you know, right. Will be wanted by, they have to walk out the door. I mean, I'm guilty of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm guilty of it too. I won't walk out the door without my hair done, my makeup done, you know, with the right clothes, because people are so judgmental and you really shouldn't care what people think, but it's hard not to, you know, because right. It's crammed so much into your face with everything. Like you said, billboards. I can't drive down the highway without seeing a girl with perfect boobs and perfect this that's up on a billboard, or open a magazine and not see it. So,
right. Well, because it's like, you know, like with billboards and such, it's like, okay, a woman's all wet. She's just getting out of the pool. She's wearing next to nothing. What the fuck does that have to do with a perfume?
Yes. Why does that sell?
Does the perfume smell like chlorine? I don't get it.
And you do not look that good coming right out of the pool or the ocean. I don't care.
Well, yeah, in real life, you come up and you got hair in your face. You can't. It's in your mouth. You've got a snot bubble. You know.
Yes. Mascara is running down your face like you just went to war. I mean, it's not
or,
cute.
Or just got broken up with. You know,
like an emo, bad emo song. It's just running down your face.
And that's one of the bases as to why I wanted to attack, you know, the early teens, because, I mean, it starts there, but that's not where it ends. It sort of just keeps going through your life that, you know, in order for you to attract somebody, you have to basically do the female version of peacocking. You have to draw that attention. You have to distinguish yourself, not only from males, but other women. So not only do you have to rock it and be sexy comparatively to other women, but you've got to be better than they are to get the guy's attention that you want the most.
Because that's 100% true. And you touched on it as well. As you get older, it gets worse, especially if, let's say, you are in a relationship and then you're 40, 45 and you're divorced. Well, hell, now you're competing with all these 20-year-olds that all these older men want. So I mean, like, you're screwed. It's like, well, how much Botox? How much can I tuck this? Right. Can I lift this? Can, you know,
how much yoga can I squeeze into a 1 day period so that I can suddenly be more limber?
Do I have to sign up for 3 different gyms so they don't they don't tell me, ma'am, you have to leave?
You're grossing everybody out. Could you just, you know, head out there?
Yes, we're gonna need you to swipe your card out. But I think, I mean, you might find this different, obviously, because you're a man, but I don't think men have it as difficult as women do when it comes to society standards.
I think by design, and I'm not blaming either gender, I think we're all at fault. I think it's just as hard, but from a different perspective. You have to put a lot into your appearance to get noticed and to break that ice, but so do guys.
But do you really? I just don't feel that way. I mean, look at TV shows, look at movies nowadays. Right. I mean, the man does not have to, okay, in real life, no offense, because they're both good looking people, but in real life, could an Adam Sandler really get a Selma Hayek?
No, but he has money, so yes, he can.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but in the movies, they portray that. I mean, and especially like a TV
it's
show.
To give guys like that hope.
But that's not... I don't like that.
But see, even in that movie, his character had a lot of money.
He did. I actually just watched that movie last night. Yeah. So that's why it was fresh in my head. Because not that Adam Sandler's not a good looking guy, but typically, you know, you wouldn't see that. And why do we think we wouldn't see that? Because society tells us because one person's better looking than the other, that they don't match.
Right.
So
even if you don't see the guy's house, you automatically end up assuming, oh, he must be loaded.
Yes. If you see those couples together,
right,
you think, oh yeah, he's got something.
You know, a good rule of thumb is always try to, I mean, and this goes for either gender, always date one above or below your own.
But I hate that that's the case.
Well, it's true. And you have to do that if you don't want people to give you stares for either direction. If, you know, if a guy's really hot, oh, and he's with a woman that's really hot, well, it's like, yeah, they want to make pretty babies. I get it. But if there's a really hot guy and this really average looking woman, mm-hmm. I think that's the only time where it's actually considered like, oh, it must be for love because look at her.
It's the truth, I know. I get shocked when you say that, but it is so true.
Whereas if it's a really hot woman and an average or less guy, it's because of money.
No, there's a lot of odd couples I see. I mean...
Right, but you don't know one way or another, but you can still make your assumptions based on what you know from society. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that hot woman's with that guy because they, you know, love bowling together.
They might.
That's very true. But from society's point of view, they don't
that's
get it.
That's not the case. No.
They run right to money.
And that's why everyone thinks they have to have the perfect body. But see, I think that's more a case with women than men. I don't think men have to search for the perfect body because of those standards, because of the society standards. I mean, just like we had mentioned, you could have like a King of Queens where you have a Kevin James and a Leah Remini. I mean, you would never see that vice versa. Did we have this conversation? Have we had this conversation before?
I'm not sure.
I couldn't remember who I talked to about this, but you would never see vice versa. You would never see someone, you would never see that separated where there's someone, an overweight woman with a skinny guy on TV. It's not going to happen. Right. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see it. And that's where I think society gives more leeway with men than they do women. Women, you got to have this rock hard body. You got to have, you know.
I don't think it's gotta. I think it's simply, it's implied, but it's all done, you know, almost subconsciously or, you know, dangling the stopwatch in front of your eyes to make you think that you have to dress or appear that way. Whereas, you know, I mean, there are, you know, at least from a guy's point of view, there are a lot of dogs out there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of guys that don't give a shit. And it's not that you can be and do whatever it is you want, but we're more practical. I think that's part of why at the same time, guys don't go to the the further extremes to present themselves a certain way, because they're going to look and feel and act the way they want to, whether or not it gets them the girl.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, I mean, I for one, I'll put myself out there right now. I for one am one of those people that want to get to know that real person. I don't need the facade. I don't need the push-up bras. I don't need the hair weaves. I don't need the press-on nails. You can go light on makeup, but really, makeup doesn't matter either, because again, it's not really what you look like. You know what I mean?
But you got to have some type of attraction, obviously.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't need to be with things that are artificial.
Understandable. So you would prefer a girl who's more natural.
Right.
Naturalness. Okay. No, I mean,
because it's one thing if you're going out to somewhere fancy, you know, you're going, you know, even for your wedding, I get all that, you know, being dolled up. I mean, there's times and places for it, but in everyday life, you don't need to put on 7 layers of makeup just to go to the grocery store and back.
I do. I will probably say I have it thrown, like, at first I wore makeup because I thought it was something I had to do. You know, I thought it was the way I had to present myself, but now it has just become not an obsession of mine, but I love it. I love everything about it. But there are times where I'm like, I have to have a full face. I can't go to work without spending an hour before I go to work. I spend more time on my makeup than I do my hair whenever I go. So like on the weekends, it's like a completely different me. I'm like, oh, you have my hair down. I don't have to have a full face on.
Well, yeah,
like,
your face can breathe.
Yes. And I'm not sitting here. I probably have over $600 in my makeup bag right now because I feel like you have to have the best of the best. And then there it is, the billboards, the magazines. Scenes, everything being shoved into your face, making you think that. I just don't remember having these issues when I was younger. Like, I don't remember having to feel at 12 and 13 like I had to have the best of the best. I think it's gotten worse.
Well, do you remember when you started wearing makeup the first time? Like legitimately? I mean, because it's one thing when you're like 5 and your parents dress you up just to be cute, you know? But like the moment that you were taking it seriously, do you know how old you were?
I would probably say the moment I started every day wear of makeup was probably 17. It's probably when I started every day. I mean, it wasn't something, I mean, every now and again, my friends would be like, here, let me put makeup on you, da 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 da. But I think it was 17 was when I would not go out. I wouldn't go anywhere to work, nothing without some type of makeup on. It wasn't just for a special occasion. And then ever since then, it's been almost every day of my life. There's makeup.
For everything.
For everything, yes. And then, but on the other hand, I've been dyeing my hair since I was in the 4th grade. So I've been changing my look since then, but just in a different aspect. So a
fucking chameleon.
Yes. I'm black hair right now, but I've been blonde, red, purple. I mean, every type of combination you can think of I've been, but it's just because I want to change it.
Without admitting any gray, what is your normal natural hair color?
What's my natural hair color?
Yeah.
Blonde. I'm a natural blonde. Yeah.
Like a blonde or like dirty blonde?
Like a blonde. Like, yeah. I'll have to show you a picture. Most people never believe me. They're like, your eyebrows are so dark. I'm like, well, I color these. Let me just tell you the color of my hair, and this was the last time. Picture, I will show you a picture, and I know I hate to, God rest her soul, but picture JonBenet Ramsey and her type of color. I looked just like her. Okay. I looked just like her when I was a kid. So, I mean, if I showed you a picture, I'll show you that one, and then you'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, even my brother, he started off as a very, very blonde child, but now he has, you know, light, or he has medium to dark brown hair, and that's it just naturally changed on its own. But yeah, he was very, very blonde to begin with, and now even without dyeing his hair, he's become that color.
Yeah, women would pay to have the color that I used to have when I was a kid.
Especially back when frosting your hair was in.
Or the sun and spray. You never probably had. Did you ever see that where you, like, they would spray their hair and go out in the sun and it would turn orange and they thought that that was the perfect thing in the world?
Well, see, that's just it. I mean, I actually tried to frost my own hair, but because my hair is so naturally dark, very dark brown, the best I could come up with was a light red.
A light red?
I didn't even fully get the hair bleached out because my hair is that deep dark. I mean, it's almost, to the naked eye, it's almost black.
Really?
But it is technically a brown. But yeah, it's like when I dye it.
You dye your hair?
Not often, sometimes, but when I do, you can hardly, I mean, the only thing that changes, honestly, is my gray hair suddenly goes away.
I really wouldn't know if I have gray hair because I don't give it time to show. It's like every 5 weeks, like clockwork. I am in the salon and I'm getting my hair dyed. So I don't even give it time. Nope.
And you know, I mean, it's one thing at my age, but even then, like I did start getting subtle gray early on. Like I was like maybe 21, 22. I was already getting that one subtle wild hair that was gray.
But see here, then again, well, it's a trend right now. So I take this back for right now. I'll take it back. But men with gray hair, acceptable. Women with gray hair, not acceptable at our age. So like if you're, I'm 30 though, so, but it is trend now to have the gray. But when this trend goes away, it's no longer going to be acceptable. So.
Well, acceptable to whom, by whom?
I would say most women find men who have salt and pepper hair to be extremely sexy. I think a lot of women like that look when it comes to a man. But you have, if you have a woman who's 30, 35 years old and has a full head of gray hair, how many guys are going to go up to her at a club or at a bar?
It depends on how old she really is.
If she's 30 or 35, how many women are going to go up to her?
Well, especially in a nightclub, you can't even tell.
Well, let's say it's the neighborhood Applebee's. Okay.
I mean, it could be fucking purple. I don't know. It's really dark in here.
We'll remember what you look like whenever the alcohol is out of the situation.
Yeah, come out here and stand in the light for a second before we make this rendezvous back to one of our places.
That's the worst part of the night when the club lights come on. And you're like, wait a minute.
That's why you always got to skip out before then.
Oh, that is so true. It's like about 10 minutes ago, you were looking like, you know, Sylvester Stallone.
Right. Well, yeah. Or you do end up with that one booty call that you did outstay your welcome and it's the next day.
Oh.
And I'm not talking about just women, but either gender wakes up and tries to figure out what wildebeest is laying next to them.
The definition, you just made me think of the movie Coyote Ugly, where she was like, well, what does Coyote Ugly mean? And she's like, you ever go to the bar and wake up next to somebody and you'd rather chew your arm off than wake them up? That's Coyote Ugly. And we've all been there. True. Well, how much did I drink? Never drinking vodka again.
And then, of course, next weekend.
Throw it up.
That's my song.
That's my song. Give me my drink.
How you doing, Bill?
I saw you last week. Moving on.
You might have to go to a different club. I just can't handle it here.
Oh, good Jesus. Oh, my God.
So, again, back to the original point for a moment before we go to commercial break. You know, a lot of kids that are starting to mature and are getting somewhat educated in other realms, they look at this side of society and their area of society, and a lot of them think that they're actually pioneers. Do you think that there's any truth to that? Like think about what pioneers mean, but like, do you think that this generation that are, you know, 12, you know, 13, 14, do you think this is the first generation being exposed to it like they are?
I think it's sort of touched base on my generation, but I think we just kind of, we're at the very tip. Like we were the testing, no, I wouldn't even say the testing of the waters.
Just the tip.
Yeah. We were partially exposed to it, but the kids now who are 13, 14, 15, they have everything at the tip of their fingers. And I think, like you said, they are the pioneers, so they don't, nobody knows what to do with this because we've never had to deal with it before.
Well, I never said that they were pioneers. I said that they think they're pioneers.
I actually think they might be, though. I think they might, like, with this whole realm of things, it's like, how do we deal with it? This is the first generation where we're like, how do we deal with all of this and not have our kids so exposed to everything?
Maybe I'm being too analytical, but I think pioneers usually in part represents volunteering for something, like you knowingly charge forward with whatever the task is. I don't think that they're pioneers. I think they may be the first with all these different aspects together being thrown at all these things. Like they're the ones being bombarded with all this new technology, all these new social sites and things that, you know, we obviously didn't have when we were growing up, but I wouldn't call them pioneers. I think they're the first to suffer the most, you know, just based on, you know, they're going to get confused. They're going to see all these things. And if nobody says anything about it, they're going to look at it and think it's normal.
So they're basically the guinea pig.
Don't bust a nut just yet. We're going to take a commercial break.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.
If you'd like to air a question with your voice on our show, film a video or record an audio file and send it to whatthesexpodcast@gmail.com with no spaces or underscores. Must be 30 seconds or less. Tell us your name or that you want to be anonymous and then state your question. You can also write to whatthesexpodcast@gmail.com or use the blog entry form at bamswag.net or through Twitter and Facebook. Many options, any of them will work. We hope to hear from you.
Click the shopping cart link that's at the top of every BAMFswag.net page and show your support for everything BAMF Swag does. As of the summer of 2015, it's a new store and lower prices while increasing the quality. There's never been a better time to show your support for everything that BAMF Swag does than right now. Swag it up.
We're back from commercial break. I'm JP.
And I'm Sarah D.
And this is the What the Sex Podcast. I don't even think that being guinea pigs is necessarily the right choice of words either, because again, it makes it sound like, let's see what these kids do under these conditions. But again, it's not an experiment. I think it's adults fucking up, and it's not just older adults. The problem is that we have so many, because there isn't two extremes. It's not like everybody's 80 or everybody's 12. There's all the ages in between as well, and they're each at their own stages of what their perceptions are. So it's not just, one view across the board. Otherwise, nobody would ever disagree about anything, right? We'd all just be like, yes. But everybody's trying to figure it out. Because it's like when I was a kid, I used to look at adults and go, wow, they all have it all fucking figured out.
Yep.
I became an adult and nobody knows shit.
We really don't. I was the same way as you. I was that kid, and maybe you were too. I was that kid to where I would rather have hung out with the adult and be around my parents and their friends than people my own age. And it's because I wanted to be them. I thought, oh, just like you had said, they have everything figured out. I can't wait to be that old. And then here I am at 30 and I'm like, what the fuck was I in a rush for? I don't like this adulting.
I'll get to be an adult. I'll have all the money in the world. Yes. I can go and do whatever I want. I can buy everything I have, everything I desire. It'll just be so much fun.
I was such a little brat when I was my age, thinking my parents were loaded. I'm like, you have all this money. I want. And now I'm sitting here like, I don't even know how I could afford a kid. How did my parents do it? How were they able to do all this stuff? It is reason number 5,000 why I don't want to have a child. I ain't got the money to have a child.
Number one and 5,000.
Yeah. I don't have the money. No. Too damn expensive. But I just think that I just feel sorry for the kids nowadays. I really do, because they have it hard. They have
And it's because parents don't have, and see, that's the thing though. They can use, as I've said before, I used to be a parent.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is really just address the issues and focus on them and really think about it logically. But a problem is common sense is not so fucking common. And so they don't know how to relate to the information, let alone try to pass it on. And if they try, a lot of them fail because they treat their kids stupid.
And a lot of people want to be friends with their kid, and you gotta draw that line. You can't sit there and want this to be your best friend. This is not the Gilmore Girls. This is not how this works. You have to have some sense of responsibility with them. You can't let them run the streets all hours of the night because.
Well, yeah. And, I very much think that the parent friends are a lot of the problem, because they're so afraid of conflict, especially from their past experience. Like, even parents that are like, I know what I did to my parents and I don't want my kids doing that to me. It's that whole that curse. I hope that when you grow up, you have kids just like you, so that you can see what you've done to me. Right?
Another reason why I don't want them.
There will be a line outside and around the street.
Oh my goodness. If I had a girl like me, oh, kick her ass.
Which again, that's an interesting, and I'm not attacking you for it, but it is an interesting double standard. It's okay for you, but when you're trying to raise a child, it's like, they cannot be me.
No, they can't. They can't be who I was when I was their age, because you think you're, you think you're invincible, and you think
and the exception.
Yes, in the exception. Oh, well, my friends, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be okay. No, I know what I'm doing. And then I look back, and I'm like, you're so dumb. The stuff that you did, how were you not killed, kidnapped, or anything like that when you were your age? The dumbest stuff that I did.
And that's and see, that's the dangerous part about kids trying to say, I'm growing up, I'm not a little kid anymore. No matter how convinced they are that they've got it all figured out and they're on the right track, fuck you, you're not.
No.
Very few have a real head on their shoulders.
You have no idea what is in store for you. And I try to tell that to a family member of mine. They're 15 and they're completely, between the age of 13 and 15, their whole demeanor has changed. They're dyeing their hair, full face makeup. I mean, she looks like she's 25 years old now.
A lot more privacy and boundaries and leave me alone. Don't bug me. I'm busy.
Yes. And she's way more into the social media and boys and things like that. And I try to tell her, I'm like, look, this all seems fun. You should have your fun, but you really need to be careful because not everybody out there has your best interest. Not everybody out there is going to have your best interest, especially guys your age.
But they're all Prince Charming. I'm just trying to find mine.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And it's like, no, trust me, you're 15. You don't know what love is. You're not in love. Yeah. So, but
very without those, you can actually say that. I mean, because again, you know, as far as history goes, you know, poetic genius such as, you know, Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
The originals was 12 and 13, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I must have slept during that part of.
They were portrayed as children. So like, you know, the Leo version was even still a little bit old for the original material. That's so think crazy. About that for a minute.
Well, I guess people did get married even in like the 50s. People got married at 16, 17, but
even younger.
Yeah.
From the moment you start your period, you're officially a woman.
You have
the ability to reproduce, even though your body's obviously still not done changing.
Yeah.
Because you can have kids, you are an adult at that age. You're a woman. Just like, you know, when guys start getting real erections and can ejaculate, they've become men.
God, that's so young. Like, that's just creepy to me. I don't know. It's just creepy. Yeah. It's creepy. Yeah. Creepy to me.
But that's why we're talking about this, is that not only to raise awareness to, you know, possibly parents out there that are listening to us, but also to look at the psychology as to what goes on behind attraction. I mean, that's why one of the other big things right now, and it has been for a long time, and I admit that I'm a pretty good, you know, supporter of it in one form, but like, you know, even completely shaving downstairs, you look pubescent by doing that. Like, you look younger by not having hair distinguish your age.
But you think that's why people do it, though?
But, well, I'm saying that's why people do it. I agree with you.
I don't agree that's why people do it. I think women do that because that's what men want. You know,
but
they
that's
have
what
that.
I'm saying men want. They want you to look as young as possible.
I don't know if it's about that, though. I don't know if it's about the youngness. I think it's just about the look, because that's the porn star look, and that's what they want.
But where did they get that idea to do that?
What do you mean? Where did who?
The idea of shaving at all. It used to be the most common to have full on bush that, you know, it's like, you know, when you look at a magazine from back then, it was like a pop up. the pubic hair was coming out trying to claw at you.
I don't know. I don't think it's I don't know. In my opinion, I don't think it's based on making it seem younger. I just think it's more of I don't know, but I don't see it that way. I think it's more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a cosmetic type thing. You see what I'm saying? It's more of like a, just like how you dye your hair because you want to look different. It's just, and because it's like an attract, I don't know the word I'm searching for, but
okay. Yeah,
that's how I view it. I don't think it's, no.
I mean, because again, don't get me wrong, because I did give you that disclaimer. I do find it to be very pleasant if it is that way, but I'm also not against having some. It's just a matter for me when it's out of control.
When you can braid it?
Right, exactly. I mean, because even, you know, and maybe this is TMI, but even I manscape, I just don't go full bald.
I don't know many guys who do. I've never really been with a guy who has.
Okay, now, so let me ask you, is that a good thing for you or a bad thing?
To be honest with you, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I think it's, I think it's kind of creepy when it's fully gone, but that's just me. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
But think about that mindset, but now it's a woman completely shaving.
But that's again, society standard. So,
but it's the same mindset.
I know, but
okay. As long as you're aware of that.
No, I just don't want to like go digging for something. If a guy
it also depends on how big or small the guy is, because you know the right guy, and you know accordingly to the right woman, you know, let's say for a blowjob, if it's big enough, she still won't ever get to the pubes, so it doesn't really matter. Whereas with a guy, to go down on a woman, you would have to feed right through the bush to get to you know the rabbit hole.
You have to find the buried treasure.
Because even if you have a big vagina, you still would have to go through pubic hair to get there if it wasn't gone.
I know. It's like the next thing you know, they're going to pull out a weed whacker.
Or shape it to look like the Nike symbol or something. Just do it.
That's so funny. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I mean, you're right though. I mean, not only is it, you know, not only is society in their advertising teaching women to do these things, but it also creates insecurities for the ones who haven't started doing it yet.
Or who are comfortable with doing it. So I don't know.
I think you're comfortable with a lot of it because it's been so ingrained that to you now it comes naturally.
Yeah.
But would you start teaching these things to someone who's 6 to 12?
No, that's no.
Exactly.
That's creepy. No,
okay. Now, here's the one thing that I will say that I've noticed, or at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
The problem with the way society would try to fix this, they can't. And here's why.
Okay.
You can't have all that stuff gone and hidden away from kids until their 18th birthday and then suddenly flood it with all these new ideas and thoughts. There will be absolutely nothing to prepare them for that sudden switch. So even if we could hide all of sexuality until their 18th birthday, that would make them more fucked, no pun intended.
Yeah. You can't fully censor them, like you said. You can't. They have to be socially conscious of what's going on around them, and they have to be aware of what can happen. But there's certain ways that parents can go about talking to their children. They can have an honest conversation with them and
I think it's one thing to have the information, but it's another to participate.
Yes. You can still know what's going on around you without
This is what they're engaging. Doing. This is what they're doing. Don't do it yet.
Until you're comfortable.
And older and out of the house.
Yes. Can you please wait until you're at least 18 years old? Again,
yeah, because again, like you pointed out, at the age that you started, you thought you had a handle on things, but you look back and realize that you didn't. Nope. And it was that self-righteous indignation that, Mom, you don't understand. Things are different now. This is what kids my age are doing. Mm-hmm. And just because everybody's jumping off the fucking bridge
doesn't mean you need to be the one to do it too.
Exactly.
But and just, you know, I'm kind of a hypocrite when I say it, but I would never change what I went through because it shaped me to who I am today. But there's a lot of decisions I would have changed. You know, there are some interactions I would not have participated in. There are some things I would not have done because either A, they were dangerous, or B, right. it was stupid, but it's because I felt I had to.
Right.
But yeah, there are some.
Yeah, peer pressure does play a role.
Peer pressure plays a big role. And especially if you surround yourself, which I always have, with an older group, you feel like you have to catch up to them. You feel like you have to be on their level, you know, to be a part of that.
Which is weird that they associate being stupid with being more mature. Isn't that ironic?
I know, it's very ironic, but I don't know. I was 15 and 16 hanging out with people who were between 17 and, oh my God, this is going to sound horrible for these people, but between 17 and 29. That's how old I was hanging out with these people. I was a completely older crowd, and that's why I felt, that's why I did a lot of things.
Would you allow your 15, 16-year-old to hang out with a 29-year-old?
Hell, motherfucking no. But then again, okay. My mom did not know I was hanging out with somebody that was that age. So I would probably say I was probably about 16 or 17, and I had hooked up with somebody who was 26. And I look back at that now, and I'm like, how disgusting on his part. You know, that's just, oh.
He was taking advantage of someone who didn't know better.
Yes. And that would be my fear for if I had a girl, or even a guy. I mean, it happens with, it's not talked about as much, but young men are just as much.
Oh, I am and was scared of both. Because on one hand, I picture, okay, if I have a son, one or more, oh crap, they're the ones I'm going to get calls about from other angry parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to end up being the angry parent because those asshole boys did whatever to my daughter.
Yes.
Neither one is pleasant as the parent.
No, I could not. I couldn't imagine in this day and age having a teenage daughter.
Well, having a child, period. I mean,
having a child, period. Yes.
And see, that's one of my big things. It's like, as much as I'm involved in technology and so forth, I don't care how much money I have. Anything under 15 or 16 should not have a phone or some sort of device as such.
No, I do. I do. I don't care. No iPads. No, none of that. I go out to eat with my friends. Again, they're older. They have kids who are 15 and 16,
right.
And their kids are just right there the whole time. I mean, just in their phone, Snapchat, texting, Facebook, Twitter. And I'm like, hello, welcome to now. It's disconnect. And even when they're 9 years old, they're sitting there with their phones, and it's like they don't even engage in conversations anymore.
Well, that's because I feel like with all that technology, and I'm not the first to say this, so it's not like I'm breaking ground here. But again, it's ironic that social media is a way for us to connect to so many people, but also be so distant from everyone else.
It's 100% truth. That's the truth of the matter.
I can talk to you. I can write to you. I can send you pictures of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same back to me, but it's still on both of our terms. You decide what you send me. I decide what I send you.
Mm-hmm.
And because it takes a little bit more effort to actually get something sent to you and back and forth, that I have a little more time to make sure that it was the right decision to do something.
Yeah. And social media has become such a huge disconnect for everybody. I mean, granted, I can keep in touch with my cousins, my aunts, and everything like that, and friends I don't talk to a lot, but that it still doesn't help. I'm still not hanging. I'm like, oh, let's get together, we'll do this. And then still I haven't seen them in like 5 years. No. And
so I guess it's time for that group chat room.
Yeah. We're going to have a family reunion on Facebook in a group chat.
And see, you know, more than clothes and makeup and hairstyles and even the way, you know, more so than dancing, walking, the way we even work out, the insecurities that if you're not meeting the minimum standard of your age group, especially at the impressionable age of 12 and up, you know, you start thinking about surgeries, whether it's something that you wait for when you become an adult yourself and deal with. But see, by then, if you're thinking of something's wrong with you and that you have to change it, by the time you become an adult, it becomes second nature. It becomes standard that this is what I have to do to not only make myself feel better about myself, but so that suddenly guys will magically want me and I'll know they'll want me for the right reasons and not scare them away because of these bad ones.
I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that at a young age for wanting plastic surgery. Obviously, never went through with it, but...
Well, can I ask you what it was you wanted to change?
Yes, I wanted to get bigger lips, and I wanted a breast implant when I was... Yes. Well, they weren't that big when I was, like, 17.
Because I mean, you're 17. We as humans don't finish evolving. Ultimately, we don't finish maturing until we get to be about 25.
But even now, when I look at them, I mean, well, I'm not saying you've seen them in all their glory, but I mean, I'm even like, they could be a little bigger.
Damn.
I'm like, they could be a little bigger.
I've seen a pair of tits that are obviously smaller than just the cleavage you show. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I'm just like...
Even when you're not being so provocative, I've seen cleavage from you.
Yeah.
But that's all some women have.
That's the truth. I mean, it's true.
Not even counting what you've hidden.
Wait. That's funny.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I 100% get what you're saying, but that's like in my mindset. Like, I just don't see them as other people view them. I still am like,
well, that new guy is cooler than the rest of us, but
even when some people are like, oh my God, your boobs are so huge, I'm like, really? I don't think so. So, and then like that's with me. Like, I want lip injections.
See, that again, like, oh, that surprises me, because your lips are voluptuous as is.
I know, but I'm like, they could be a little bigger. You always want to improve a little bit more. You're like, they could be a little.
But
bit
you don't
bigger.
Want to end up looking like a Muppet.
No, I don't want that. But see, that would be my fear.
It's like that blonde puppet that has the blonde yes. hair. Oh, you know, man, yeah. Her lips are freaking ridiculous.
That's so true.
But there are women that look like that. The surgery gone wrong.
But see, that's why you get that stuff. I think it's called Restylane, to where it's only in there for a couple months and then it goes down, you know, like goes away. So I was like, well, maybe I should test that out. But then, you know, you see so much of this stuff, and I'm even sitting here at 30 years old, like, well, I could use some Botox there. I could use some Botox there. I could use some Botox here.
Okay, but let me ask you, have you been able to analyze whether or not it's only self-image or because you want to be attracted by someone?
It's for my own self. Okay. I will sit there. Well, no, let me change that. Not for like my own self, but it's because I don't want people staring. You know what I mean? Like, I will sit there and I will look in the mirror and I will just see like these two lines. And then they're like laugh lines. And then the ones right up here by your eyebrow, like near your forehead. Like, I don't have the forehead lines, just right there, those crease ones. And I sit there and I will literally just stare at them and be like, just let me inject a little something there. And then I won't have that line anymore. But...
it's all because, with putty, you know.
Yes, some spackle. That's what the makeup's for. But then when the makeup starts to crack, you're like, oh shit. So,
yeah, where's my cover up?
Yeah, I need my concealer. Put some more putty in there. Fill in the cracks.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, surgeries like lips, labias that we talked about before. There's even butt implants that you can get.
Oh,
obviously yes. Breasts, and then you know there is the anti-aging stuff.
That
people are even changing their skin tones. They're getting contact lenses in a different color.
Yeah,
you know, I mentioned weaves before. I mean, they're basically cheating genetics.
They're changing their entire appearance by going for one trip to the store. It's crazy how different a person can look. You take a female and you put nails, eyelashes, contacts, weave, makeup. You can change her whole appearance.
And it reminds me of a bit by Chris Rock. He said that, you know, a woman wears press on nails, fake breasts, eyelashes, dyes her hair, and you want men to tell the fucking truth? Fuck you.
That's so true, though.
Everything about you is a lie.
That is so true. Hey, I like my fake nails. They look good.
More power. Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people can't even grow them for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, I mean, there's a number of reasons, whether it's genetics, malnutrition, you know, maybe your occupation gets in the way and you can't grow them, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that, again, is one of the few exceptions.
I'm a biter.
Well, see, there you go. At least if they're plastic, maybe you won't swallow them.
Yeah. I'm a swallower, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, yeah. It's well, okay.
But don't you.
I mean, even some of the terms that we use to draw attention in advertising, I mean, obviously it is more specifically porn, but like even the term cream pie.
What?
It sounds sweet. It sounds delicious. What is it? I want it. Give it to me. It's a cute little name.
Oh my God. It's the farthest thing.
Well, yeah, basically all it is mostly pulling your dick out and then still just coming in that front opening of the vagina. But it sounds like a treat, like an after school. Let's, you know, I'm a little hungry, not quite ready for dinner yet, but I just want something to hold me.
I can't even with this. Oh, and some people don't, and some people that are, don't even know what that is. And they're like, oh, I want to try it.
If they don't know what it is, then that's great. They managed to survive.
Oh, I will tell you that, I'm going to admit this, but probably up until like 5 years ago, I had no idea what that was. I'd always heard it and laughed at it, but I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm like,
meanwhile, you're just thinking whipped cream and a cherry inside of a tin. And you're like, okay. Yeah.
Can I have one?
I want one. Give me two. Give me two.
I skipped breakfast.
That would hit the spot.
And now I sit in and I'm like, oh no. Well, even recently, I didn't. Oh my god, I'm not even gonna say it. Moving on.
No, you gotta.
Up until, oh my god, I can't believe I'm gonna admit this. Up until like 2 years ago, I had no idea what a hot Carl was. I had to Urban Dictionary it.
Okay, well, I'll admit more than that, I still don't know what you're talking about.
Are you
still? The only one I know was one of the first ones that started hitting a trend was the Dirty Sanchez, and that's only out of extreme absurdity that anybody knows what that is. I can't imagine that most people would even have done that.
Oh.
But because it is an idea. I mean, even if nobody's ever done it, there is a fucking name for it. Because
somebody has done it at one point.
Okay, so, right, exactly. And so, I mean, you know what a Dirty Sanchez is, right?
I think so. I'm like sitting here with Google right now.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't tell you but you need to, I mean, because I don't have that access right now. I'm on here with you. So would you tell me what your Carl one is? So say the name of it again.
It's called a hot Carl.
A hot Carl. Okay. What is a hot Carl? No, you stepped into this. You got to share.
Okay.
This is an adult show, so fuck it. Say
what. No, whatever. I know what it is, but actually, this Urban Dictionary is different from what the one I have seen it for a hot Carl, because this one says most everyone is wrong. A hot Carl is the act of putting Saran over the face and taking a dump on it. That's what it is.
See, that's along the lines of a Dirty Sanchez.
Well, that's where it goes into. It says anal to oral is called a rusty trombone. Dumping on the chest. I say this so nonchalantly.
Dumping, I know, right?
Dumping on the chest is a Cleveland steamer, and anal to tit fucking is a chili dog. If you have the squirt, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Probably not.
If you have the squirts and can attain maximum heat and force a hole to the Saran and onto the skin mouth, then you are awarded extra points. Carl would be proud. Dirty Sanchez. Do you know what a donkey punch is?
I've heard that one a lot and don't know what it is. No.
I think that's whenever you're like having sex with a girl. I'll look at it. Hello, wait, let me see. I don't want to be wrong. Yep, the donkey punch is when you're engaged in anal sex and when you're about to ejaculate, you punch the poor lady in the back of the head. So her anal cavity tightens, making the orgasm all that better.
Oh my god. I will keep that in mind, but oh my god.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, who comes up with this stuff? I mean,
well, and see, those kinds of things, obviously, you know, those are a little bit harder to find, but you know, I mean songs like Bedrock makes a reference to, yeah, Flintstones. You know, it's, kids are gonna hear that whether they know what it means or not, and it talks about G-spots, and you know, and it's like,
oh, songs are horrible.
You know, kids are singing it that may and may not know what G-spot even is, but they're saying the word. So even subconsciously, I feel like they're being unfortunately groomed.
We had that same thing too, though. I mean, I can remember listening to Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me, and I had no idea what it was about. And then you get older and you're like, oh.
So that's sex and candy.
Yes, I smell sex and candy. Yes, I used to sing that song all the time.
And candy, yeah.
Oh my god, how are my parents? What? Oh no.
Right? Flashback.
I know, I'm like going through all my flashbacks like, why did they let me listen to that?
I know, right? Okay, and another big one of this generation, Lady Gaga, who, you know, I think is a great performer. I dig her eye popping outfits and so forth. However, again, it shouldn't be marketed to that young of an age, because even then, what I didn't know until recently was that not only are fans dressing up for the concerts, but these underage women are specifically dressing provocatively to try to emulate their hero. And to me, as a parent, that would be a big fucking no-no.
Oh, yeah, no. My child will not walk out of the house looking like Lady Gaga.
Okay, but see, would that be it? Or, I mean, because would you still let them go?
No.
And look at others like that, let alone Lady Gaga herself?
No, I mean, I would not. No offense to her, but like you said, I think Lady Gaga is amazing. I think vocally, her artistry, everything about her is amazing. But it's meant for the 18.
Well, yeah, I mean, she owns the fact that it's very sexual. I mean, she wears next to nothing. I mean, even in some videos, technically speaking, even though you can't see anything, you know, specific, I've seen her in a bathtub completely naked.
Yeah. And I mean, I know she's changed. She's changing her persona about her, which I think she should. I mean,
all the money she has, she doesn't need to do that anymore.
Well, I'm glad she doesn't, because I think she is a true talent. Her voice, amazing. And she proved that when she sang the Star Spangled Banner, she proved that whenever she was at the Grammys and sang that song, she's a powerhouse, and she doesn't need that gimmicks and those gimmicks about her to be amazing. But right.
And I think it's confusing between the different genders in music videos, because it's like Lady Gaga, for one, shows herself as sexy but also powerful. You know, she's got that, yes, she has that control. However, yes, in male music videos, more often than not, oftentimes more so in the hip hop rap genre, but even in some R&B, men portray women as prey.
Well, even in country, it's even, sadly enough, it's even in country music too. I mean, it's in most, there is a country song out. I mean, I like country, and there is, I don't know her name, I'm horrible with artist names, but even she says, to be a girl in a country song, she says, she's summing it up, why do I have to be in a bikini sitting on the bed of your truck waiting for you to tell me what to do? You know, why do I, you know, she doesn't think that girls should be portrayed that way as sex objects, which in most male videos, they are portrayed that way. They are, right, like you said, rap and hip hop, they're backup dancers. But in Lady Gaga, she takes full control, and she might be that sexual being, but like you said, she owns it. She's the one in control. She's the one that's the power.
Right,
the power,
which is situation. Fine. But again, you look, you know, the next video that comes on might be the guy saying, that's just some fucking bitch, blah, 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 blah.
Superman
blah.
That hoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Where did music go? Where did music go nowadays?
And again, one of the other springboards into why we're talking about this is that, you know, as a teen, you find yourself, if you do start wearing things like that, that, you know, show a little bit more skin, they get the guy, you know, the boy's attention, really. They're not guys yet. They're not men. But to start getting that attraction from anybody, even if you're lesbian or gay, if you're dressing in a way that are getting other people to get attracted to you sexually.
Yeah.
You start hearing these compliments, and it does feed your ego. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, this person likes me, or this group of likes me, and I'm popular or whatever have you. But the problem with that is that as you do mature, and you start hearing it over and over and over again, even that loses its value. So as you become an actual adult where things can be like, all right, who wants this?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to offer and say, yeah, I want this. But then you're like, ew, you just want that.
it's the truth. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that, because it's the truth.
It's so fucked up, because it's like, you know, you're underage, you shouldn't be allowed to be that way.
No.
And then you get to be a legal person, and by then you've heard it all, unfortunately, both true and lies. A lot of, you know, let's face it, a lot of guys will lie thinking and saying and doing just what they think you want, whereas it's not really their real nature.
Mm-hmm.
Which is scary as well, because then that makes it harder for a real person to get through, because, you know, when you initially talk to somebody and they just say, hey, I like your eyes. Oh, my God, your lips are sexy. It's like, yeah, but what makes you different than everybody else that fucking says that?
Yeah, I guess you become numb to it.
It becomes so standard,
yes,
that it almost makes you a snobby narcissist, because you're like, yeah, And that's it. Like, you don't respond. You're thinking, okay, this guy just wants to get in my pants. Fuck off. You blow him off. And there's no real way for a guy to get into a conversation with you because, you know, initially, let's face it, your first impression is usually visual.
Yes. But it also falls into the fact of you don't even know who to believe. You don't even know whether to believe men at that point, because men will say anything. They'll say anything. So when a guy's like, oh, my God, you're so pretty. And it's like, what do you want? Like,
yeah, what do you want? I mean, I know that there's a lot of guys that, you know, for some sort of pride refuse. I mean, at least that's what they claim, which I think they're full of shit. But at least for their public persona, they want to claim that they never masturbate, that they're always above that, that they will only get their rocks off with women. And by doing it that way, obviously, you know, like I said, I think they're full of shit, but it feeds into their ego, their digital version, if you will, like their version of themselves that's actually on a pedestal.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't lower themselves to having to do it by themselves. And so they will do what they can and still try to play it nonchalant and cool, trying to get there.
I guess I don't have that experience. Like, well, I have.
You're not a guy. Hello.
No, I mean, like, with the guys I know, like, they openly talk about it and, like, brag about it. Doing that, you know? But I don't know.
But see, with you, they might already know what you're okay with.
True. That's very true.
This might be a little far-fetched, but it's at least, I think, in theory, possible. What if they over-exaggerate their ability to masturbate because they know you well enough to know that that might actually turn you on?
They may be correct.
So, like, you know, so maybe, like, you know, maybe they masturbate once a day, 5 to 7 times a week, but then they're still telling you, like, oh, dude, I masturbated 5 minutes, you know, 5 times since I've been through this door. Like,
yeah. Well, with a man, I don't know how capable that is. Yeah. But no, I mean, I guess it's true. I guess they're going to say what's going to appeal. With the same thing women do. Women are going to say what's going to appeal to the man, you know, and how they're going to be, how open they're going to be and things like that is all going to be depending on who they're having a conversation with. So I guess that's true. I guess that's why it doesn't faze me, because maybe that's why they say it, is because they know that I'm like, okay, I dig that. I get it. So do I, but.
I mean, because it doesn't just, you know, and as far as the culture goes, it doesn't just, you know, attack and reflect, you know, sexuality, but even in our language, like, you know, it's one thing when a kid says a random word that we know they shouldn't say, and it's like, aha, funny, cute. But when it becomes a part of their vocabulary at such a young age to say the word fuck, it's like hearing it from an old lady in church. Like, it just rubs you the wrong way. Like, it's just, oh, please don't do that.
Yeah, it's not cute. It's not funny. You know?
But again, grown-ups do it. I want to be a grown-up. I want to be accepted by the masses. What I gotta do?
That's true. What can I do? Smoking, drinking, cussing. You know, it all comes into trying to be that person that you're not ready yet to be. So.
Right. And along with that, and talking about social media, you know, the photos that kids are sending, because I do believe that as far as getting the term for it, I blame children for coming up with the word sexting.
Oh, God, I hate that word.
Right?
Yes.
where they're essentially texting, messaging, Snapchatting, revealing in part or in whole images of themselves to other people, hopefully at least roughly their ages. And it's like, God, your body that you're showing isn't even where your body is going to end up yet.
And then they have no care. They don't even see where the wrong is. And
because they're getting attention, and that's all that matters.
That's true. At that age, that's all that does matter with most people. But it's,
I don't want to die alone. Oh, my God. I want to feel special. I want to be that one, that person's one.
Not at 16, sweetheart. At 16, you have so much left to learn. That is exactly. For sure.
And what's so strange is that even with the surgeries that are happening, they can almost use it as a way to encourage themselves to take even more measures, whether they're drastic or everyday stuff. But it's like, when you get to that point, it's like, I not only saved the money for this, but I went in and had my doctor's appointments, and now I'm about to have this surgery. And then afterwards, they say, I went through this surgery. What else can I accomplish? What else can I change? What else can I, you know, put money towards and look a different way?
Mm-hmm. I was there. I was at one, though, but I never went through with it. Thank God. But I was that girl.
This episode is fun. I think it's stimulating intellectually, but isn't it exhausting?
Yes. It is. I'm thinking about all this stuff and I'm like, oh my God.
And you doubted me because you were thinking we're going to talk about what?
Yeah. What are we going to talk about? Okay, if you say so.
I'm not sure I understand. I don't think that's a good idea. But see, I found a way, like, you know,
yes.
It does make sense. I wasn't just like, hey, let's talk about little girls.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't do that again.
Well, see, only because you're laughing so adorably, I may have to at some point.
No, don't.
But I'm not going to let you know. It'll be at some point random. You won't know when it's coming. No,
that's what she said.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, my only cure for all of this is that I think it needs to be in certain places that are out of kids' reach. You know, bars, nightclubs, you know, R-rated and up movies, things of that nature. But anything where I'm flipping channels should be okay if my kid is happened to go from one channel to X channel and find and you know, shouldn't have to come across something weird in between.
Yeah, that TV, the limits, you know, they push.
And I used to get upset when I heard about the V-chip and what it was supposed to have done if it was going to get put into every cable box across America. I mean, I don't know if you heard about it way back then, but it was this device that basically it's parental controls, right?
Gotcha.
Anybody, anything that has the V-chip in it, you cannot access if you're underage. Right. But I think it almost should be like that, that whatever we have to do technologically, whomever's watching or turns on the TV or any other device, it should ask you or already know the age bracket to which whoever's watching. So if I'm in the family room and I've got my theoretical wife and my boy and my girl, when I turn the TV on, it should ask me what the ages are to and from. So like, you know, if we're all sitting down, I should be able to put on there, you know, ages 3 to 50. Let's just say I'm that old by then. but it knowing that there are ages 3 to 50 watching, it should know not to air any commercials that don't fit in that whole range.
Oh, that's a whole nother. That's almost a whole nother.
If I go on there by myself though and say, "Hey, I'm 50 years old and that's it," I ought to be able to have that adult content without, you know, the restrictions. But if my device knows that there's a child present, it should display things that are more age appropriate. I mean, because there's things for adults that we can watch that don't have to be negative to kids. It just doesn't apply to them. It's like, you know, fucking tires. You know, they don't need tires, but it's not going to offend them that they saw a tire commercial.
Unlike if they see like a Viagra commercial.
I was just going to say, or one of those late night extends bullshit.
or those cable
900 hotlines. Call now and talk to live girls in your area. We're just waiting around doing absolutely nothing very sexy, waiting for you. We are only a phone call away, but if that doesn't suit your fancy, you can also chat with us online.
How many times did you call those numbers? You seem to know it.
I just stay up very late.
Is that what you want us all to believe?
No, because that shit even popped up on the Cartoon Network after hours.
The Cartoon Network. What am I thinking? Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. That's Cartoon Network.
See, no, that's not okay. That's not okay. They shouldn't share the same channel. That's not okay.
It should be a separate channel with password verification and all that stuff.
Yes. No, Adult Swim is horrible.
At the same time, I understand why they at least switched to adults, because otherwise, why the fuck are they going to play 3 a.m.?
Well, I will tell you, I like watching Scooby-Doo before I go to bed.
But kiddish stuff like Barney. Scooby-Doo, yes, I agree. I mean, because that's old school. That's stuff from our generation that has just evolved over, you know, decades. But, you know, it is frustrating because, again, why would things so child-based beyond that late? And it's like if a kid's trying to go to sleep, like, you know, it's 8 or 9 o'clock at night, it's like it's time for bed. But if they're like, but Scooby-Doo's coming on next.
That's what DVR is for, Speedy.
Why would they put that on if they don't want me to watch?
That's why you turn that right off the TV off for them. Like, I will record it for you. You can watch it in the morning. That's why they came up with DVR.
Okay, but right, but at the same time, that's part of one of those little things, little piece by piece, that make the good parents the villain.
You have to be the villain, though, when you're a parent. You have to be. You have to be the bad guy, because you can't be their friend. You're their friend, then you're walking a thin line with them, and they're going to think they can get away with everything, and they can't. Then again, I'm not a parent. I don't know the struggles that you have to go through, you know, to say no to your kids or anything like that, right. But, you know.
Well, see, it's one thing to be a part of the conversation, but the parents still need to be in control of the conversation. I think that's where a lot of the parents have a problem, is that they try to talk to them like friends, but that's as far as it goes. And so the kids get this impression like what we're talking about is okay. Like, I can go do this. I'm just talking to you about it. That it makes it, you know, it doesn't give that severity. Like, okay, it's one thing. Again, like I said before, it's one thing that you know about it, but I'll be damned if you're going to participate in it.
And to act upon it, yep.
And the friend parents don't say that.
No, they just assume that their child is just not going to be a part of it. But, I mean, peer pressure is the worst thing these kids are going to have to be faced with.
Or they do say something. And then by that point, it's after the fact of the child's already done whatever it was, and then the child is confused. You didn't have a problem with it when we were talking about it before.
They love to just throw that in your face, don't they?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, yeah, yes, we did.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so here I have a small list of disturbing facts.
Okay.
This one's a two-parter. In 1983, 40% of adults had viewed porn one or more times. By 2011, it went up to 79%.
That's for the internet. You think the internet for that one.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. And it's free. Hello.
Yes, and it's free. You don't have to pay for the Spice Channel or anything like that like you had to back in the day.
Right. We were talking about the labioplasty.
Yeah.
Between 2008 and 2009, it went up 70% as something that women got.
Oh, my God.
Whether they were big or small, they had them completely removed so that they could look as young and empty as possible.
Oh, my goodness.
More than one out of five kids around the ages of 9 to 11 had accidentally seen porn.
Accidentally?
Like, they somehow came across it, whether they were looking for... I mean, because if you don't know what it is, you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But you end up finding it. I mean, and it's true. I mean, because even I stumbled upon a tape in my house's possession that I didn't know what it was.
Okay, I can see that, because I did that too. I can see that.
Because even the name at the time didn't make any sense to me. It was called Dripping Snatch Number 3. If you guys can find it and you see it, that was my first porn, for good and or bad. But I came across it, and I put it in the machine thinking that it was some sort of instructional video for some device that was in the house. And I was bored and wanted to learn. Well, I learned all right.
Oh, my God. Dripping Snatch 3. What type of device in the house? Okay. Keep going.
More than half the kids aged 12 to 13 have social media accounts, which includes Snapchat, Facebook. See, what scares me is that, you know, like Twitter and Instagram, they don't have any age verification on there.
No, they don't. You can be any
age.
I
see a lot more vulgar stuff on those two, because Facebook at least tries to monitor. So, like, you know, you see something you don't like, you can report it, and they're usually pretty on top of it. Twitter and Instagram, no fucking shame in their game.
No. Twitter, you will see the GIFs and everything on Twitter are insane.
Yeah. One in five teenagers, girls, have sent or posted nude and or semi-nude photos of themselves.
Oh, 100%. I can see that. Yep. That's very disturbing.
So in conclusion, parents, wisen the fuck up.
Yes.
If kids happen to hear this right now, wisen the fuck up. That's part of the problem, is that you think you already have and you haven't begun to understand. You are at the very beginning of your life. This is why you're not allowed to call yourself an adult until you're 18, for a number of reasons. One of which, your brain hasn't fully matured. You suffer brain damage, as Bill Cosby would put it. There's things that you have to learn, and just because you have an opinion doesn't make it a right one. And you know, to be fair, it doesn't mean that you're wrong either, but it doesn't mean that you're old enough, through experiences, going about it the right way, being patient, to justify that whatever it is you're saying is right.
Yeah.
And that concludes this edition of the What the Sex podcast. I'm Sarah D.
And I'm JP. And remember, this has just been between us, the sheets, and anywhere else we fancy.
I can't wait for the next time.
Ciao.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.